Good morning, and welcome back to Across the Bifrost. So, Pat and I are recording an episode this week. It's going to be a little bit late. We are recording one for Mini Stravaganza, where there was a lot of great things coming out. We did want to share one of our after-the-credit scenes with you, you being the people. The after-the-credit scenes are normally a Patreon-only thing. They happen every week. You get access to them. But this one, we just started a series where we're going through the crisis. So here we talk about Spider-Infected. So here is our after-the-credit scene for Spider-Infected. If you'd like to listen to all the after-the-credit scenes, you can check that out at patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. Patrons, welcome back to the after credit scenes. Today at the Daily Bugle, we're going to be covering the 17 threat extraction spider infected invade Manhattan, which is a staple of the 3/4 box challenge included in the core set. Real quick, right? It's 5 spider virus infected civilians, important to note, on the Foxtrot map. Players score 1 for each infested character they hold during the cleanup phase, and something else happens too, Pat. What is that?
Oh, this is the really important part of the crisis, right? In the power phase, you roll for each character, and on a hit, world, or crit, so 50-50 chance, your opponent advances them short.
Yeah, and also worth noting, right, you can only ever hold one of these. So, Spider-Infected Invade Manhattan, it's kind of been a staple in general, I think. The general concept with it is, if your opponent's team is all short-range brawly, I just take Spider-Infected to kind of push them away, right? Which is not wrong at a high level, right?
Definitely not. So I think there was a time period where this became a little bit less popular, even though it was a core box crisis, so it's never been unpopular, right? But I think around about season 2 to 3 of the TTS League, people weren't taking it so much because people hated dealing with the downside of having your characters moved is really disruptive and potentially really punishing, right? It can waste their actions, it can put them in danger, it can do all kinds of bad stuff. But just to toot my own horn here for a sec, I was embracing this, even though I don't like having my character's activations wasted. I don't like it when random dice rolls affect the outcome of the game very heavily. I think I cottoned on quite quickly to this idea that, okay, it's random, but it happens enough over the course of the game that it's somewhat predictable. And the variance is going to even out there over the course of the game. But the negative effect is really strong against particular people. And so it's very, very good crisis to have as an option against aggressive teams. And especially because it scores 5, right? For me, it's the ultimate extract for fast crisis-focused teams. It scores a lot and it more greatly punishes attack-focused characters than mobile ones.
And I'm going to go ahead and mansplain this because Pat kind of blipped over for the newer players. We like it being a 5 scorer because a brawly, aggressive team wants to kind of drag this out. They want to play a slower crisis traditionally, kind of punch you into the dirt and store these things later, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that it has more elements on it allows a scenario-focused team the opportunity to score more early, right? Score more through the whole game. So hopefully end the game early so the attrition teams don't really ever get a chance to kind of catch up.
Perfect. Exactly.
I think this was most popular almost a year and a half ago now, right? There were less crisis. Real smart there, TT. Great observation. The other thing is, right, MODOK and Corvus were really popular, and these are both really strong effects into both of those characters.
Yes, really strong. Any character that is slow and doesn't have good movement actions and wants to be making lots and lots of high-quality attacks generally hates this, right? I like it into Magneto as well as those. There's a couple of other characters that are really good at disrupting. A great example is Lockjaw, right? Where you can Lockjaw wants to be you being a good boy and useful and picking up an extract, but then he gets walked away and you can't get his power generation. Anyone with a short move, Venom, Kingpin, right? There's all these characters who are pretty ubiquitous inside their affiliations who really suffer a lot from the negative effect of this.
Yeah, like Pat said, right? This could basically cost people an action, right? Mm-hmm. So there are definitely a lot of characters who have their own kind of built-in movement shenanigans who tend to be a little bit better on these crises, right? Hawkeye kind of immediately comes to mind.
Hawkeye is like the best, right? He's so good. The fact he's got a range 5 attack, so sometimes you just can't move him out of range no matter what, but he can then just swing back in. Yeah, he is a superb option.
I think Ancient One is another one that's interesting. I want to bring up Ancient One because Ancient One is a short-range brawler, right? Range 2 or 3 of attacks. I know we haven't covered her yet. I really like the Convocation Wave. but has, right, mists, right? So she can place herself within two, which is one of the ways you can combat this, especially with her increased power generation.
Yep. I mean, we've just spoken about Midnight Suns, right? But it's worth noting that their leadership helps offset this. If you put your range two brawler like Blade in base-to-base contact with an enemy, he can get moved away by a spider, but then he can blip back into range.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, everyone likes the movement effects, but it's also good against those characters normally if they don't have that movement effect, right? Kind of the short-range brawlers, again, you push them out, they have to waste a tactics card or something else to kind of get back in, right?
Yeah.
So what are some things you can do if you're not... If you're not a spider-infected team, if this isn't one of the extracts you're picking, what are some things you can do? What are some things you need to keep in mind? What are some tactics you can take, Pat, to kind of perform decently on the crisis?
So I think you do. I think this is one of those crises where you're being more mobile is rewarded and having more characters is rewarded. Because if you have multiple cheap characters, firstly, them losing an action by being moved is much less damaging, right? If Okoye loses a spear, I mean, that's a shame. But it's way better than if Magneto loses one of his magnetic refractions, right? And then on top of that, not only is it less punishing, but the fact that you can only carry one of these per character. If you're just playing like four wide and two of your characters never want to hold these, then you're really limiting how many victory points you can actually score. And so having lots of characters that are happy to pick these up makes this a good scenario for you. And that's what I would be considering. Just having this on the table will make me rethink my strategy about how many characters do I want to have. And if I'm playing like an attrition focused team that wants to have four characters at 17 threat, I might not do that on this crisis. I might say, no, this is the time where MODOK becomes a 3 and a 2. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I play five wide because then I have two characters who are both scoring me one victory point rather than one character who's refusing to pick anything up.
Yeah, I think that's a great one, right? A great point. And I do want to ask you kind of a dovetail question off that, right? You've played a ton of She-Hulk, right? You've actually played a bunch of Magneto. I've played a bunch of Magneto. Mm. How do you feel about those characters grabbing a virus?
Oh, you really don't like it, right? It's like someone like She-Hulk has this dual problem where she can be walked away and her activation can be made bad. Special delivery can be turned off because she can be walked out of range of it. Bodyguard can be turned off because she could be walked out of range of it. And on top of all that, she could be walked into the enemy and murdered. It's just awful for her. That being said, I mean, you need victory points to win the game. And I've had situations where I've had a spider infected at my feet. I think this came up in the semifinals of season 4, or my top 16 game in season 4. I was playing against the Web Warriors. They had given me spider infected. And at the end of round 2, I think She-Hulk had a spider infected at her feet. And I thought long and hard, like for several minutes, should I pick this stupid thing up? I need points to win the game. I want to be ahead on points. But the punishment on She-Hulk is so high. It makes it really, really tough. And I think the answer there is don't pick it up if you could possibly avoid it. But you have to make a judgment call about how valuable the victory point is and how much danger She-Hulk is going to be in. And there'll be times where it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think you hit on the point I wanted to point out there. Is just like, do think about whether or not you should pick this up, right? Almost every other... Not every other, but a lot of the crises out there, it's just a snap. Oh, I got you to drop the extract. I'm just going to pick the extract up off of you. This one definitely has a real tangible thing. Sometimes it's like, you know what? If it's just on the ground, that's good enough. I can pick it up in round 4, round 5, round 6. I can get my points then. I just need to put it somewhere where they don't have it. So I think that's important. You mentioned the Web Warriors forced this into your A-Force roster. And that's kind of exactly what we kind of talked about, right? They identified... I think you were playing Hell Cannon, right?
So Hell Cannon, yeah.
So he identified that you're going to want to play this Brawly A-Force team that's kind of up in your face. He wanted to play a Web Warriors team, which at the time was kind of running around the outskirts. Amazing Spider-Man wasn't around. Crisis Foken. So they put this down, right, to get 5 scoring points out there and to mess up your brawling, right?
Yeah, although interestingly, he actually went for Brawling option as well. And he had Venom and MODOK and Daredevil, all of whom get pretty punished for having Spider infected on them.
Ooh.
But, I mean...
That's a spicy meatball. I wouldn't have done
right?
that, but...
Good well, it's interesting because I think he figured that he had enough characters that he didn't need MODOK to pick one up and that it punished me more than it punished him. So it was interesting for sure. I think generally speaking, any time I have a team that is fast and able to account more for the movement. I enjoy this crisis, especially if they're VP focused, and it tends to be that most of the time fast teams are focused on scoring. Not always, but like Wakanda, thanks to Black Panther, and Web Warriors, I think are the perfect teams to always be wanting to play this card.
I think Sam Avengers is one as well, right? I've been playing this with my Sam Avengers a lot. You obviously have the leadership to kind of compensate for it. And like I said, we talked about it before, Aaron.
And Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, Avengers Assemble, also very relevant. Thanks for pointing that up. And I'm normally running five wide on there, right? So I feel like I have a decent spread to put out there. I don't have to put one of these on Vision or whoever I'm trying to avoid putting the token on.
Exactly. And like with those kind of lists, because your core is so cheap, you can... I think you should always, with this crisis, you should always think about playing one more character than you normally do in order to get the most out of what the crisis is asking of you and to be able to score it well. And with something like Avengers, that might mean playing six wide at 17 threat, whereas otherwise you might prefer to play five. But yeah, I like playing five wide Avengers on this crisis. I like playing six wide. I think they both work well.
So the other thing that you actually brought up in the main pod, talking about the... Midnight Sun's affiliation ability and their ability for a 50 mil base to grab the center point is right. The F objectives, I see a lot of people who don't have a great plan for what to do with the center point. Mm-hmm. And that can be really, really pivotal in the early game, Pat. So do you have any insights into that?
Yeah, I think it's critical. I think that is the most defined. Like the fact there's five extracts to grab, right? This applies to Cube as well, as you pointed out with the Fs. And getting ahead is a big deal. Someone is probably going to end up 3-2 and you want that to be you. I think the first thing to do, as you mentioned, is think about what you could do for the center point. A lot of teams pick this with priority because they have a plan to immediately steal the center, right? Midnight Suns can do it. X-Men can do it very easily. Any team with Amazing Spider-Man or Angela, so like Web Warriors, Asgard, Wakanda with Angela, right? This was something I used a lot during season 4 of the TTS League, was... and during Battle Realm, was having Angela in Wakanda and immediately stealing the central point. Angela being a mobile character who doesn't mind too much about the move from the spider infected. I think that's like step one, is do something in your roster so that you're picking this and immediately stealing the center safely is a perfectly good option to have. But you also need to not pay too high a price to do that. Like, you don't necessarily want to be burning a huge number of tactics cards. Or putting a character in danger to do it. And then step two is, okay, if I don't have priority, what do I do here? How do I counter this play? Or am I picking it because I don't expect that my opponent can steal it in turn one? So you have priority, TT, you chose secures. I pick Spider Infected because I look at your roster and I don't think you can steal it immediately.
For those players, right, in me in this situation, who I don't have one of those characters you just kind of named that can go out there and steal it, what do you normally advise them to do? Do they just kind of give up the middle point? Do you think they kind of throw a sacrificial lamb out there? I mean, I know we're missing so much context, right, because we don't know what the secure is, right? And how you interact with the crisis in general, right, matters a lot more than how you interact with one side or the other. But I see a lot of people like, well, I have priority. I have to send someone to get it or I just give it away.
Yes. So I think if neither person has an option to steal it free of repercussions, you get into a really interesting game of chicken, right? Which used to come up all the time back in the days before these obnoxious long-moving characters came out, right? And everyone was playing this core set crisis. You get this game of chicken where at any point someone can double move into the middle and take the valuable tie-breaking extract, but everyone on the opposing team that hasn't activated can then have a crack at them, right? And it's quite fun to play that game because the answer here is just how tough are your characters? How good are they at doing damage? How good are they at punishing someone for the middle, being in the middle? And then what is the case for your opponent's team? Who is going to run in first and take it and then suffer the repercussions? And at what point do you do that? It's a judgment call based on the setup and what characters you have available. But I would like to have some sort of resilient character who I could activate fairly quickly to take it if I think my opponent can't punish me too much for that. If I don't have that, I'm going to wait for my opponent to move somebody in and I'm going to try and punish them instead.
Yeah, I've often found that, again, the taking it because you feel like you have to, I kind of rarely see working out. I kind of prefer a more Can I set up to punish the person who does end up taking it? Can I be opportunistic about later things? Am I able to really leverage the secure to hopefully kind of get up ahead that way? I don't think you should just, all right, I'm just going to double move Enchantress up there and grab the thing because I have to do something, right?
You definitely don't do that as your first play. Like a big mistake that newer players make on this crisis is they think, oh, I want to get the center. I'll do it before my opponent. First thing I'll do is double move someone to the middle. And then that character just gets destroyed.
And that's what I was trying to get to it a lot of the times. I see a lot of people do this because they feel like if they give this away, they're giving up so much tempo, right, to steal a magic term or something. And they don't feel like they can do that. But I think what we're both saying is to advocate a little bit of patience, be opportunistic, and really look at what you're going to get in there on the thing.
Yeah, the point of taking this extract is you want to be holding it at the end of the turn. If you take it as the first activation on turn one, the character holding it is likely to be dazed at the end, and you'll have given up the point and lost a character, which is just a disaster. You'd be better off not activating them at all at that point. So you want to make sure you're taking it when it's safe. And of course, there's this interesting timer thing happening, right? Which is every time you activate a character on either side, it becomes a little bit safer to move a character to the middle because there's one less character who can punish you for moving to the middle. And you get this weird kind of tick down effect where, let's say we're both playing 5 wide at 17 threat. I don't want to move my first character in, so they do something else. You don't want to move your first character in, so they do something else. I'm like, maybe I can move my second character. No, still too risky. My second character does something else. Then you're like, but now you've activated two characters. Maybe I can move my second character. Do you know what I mean? And as the round goes on, it becomes increasingly tempting to move someone to the middle and take that point. And at some point, one of you will. Right? And it's an interesting decision as to who does it and when.
So I think my general advice here, Pat, and please tell me if you don't agree with this, I think you need to deploy with a couple models threatening to go and grab this middle thing. And yes. I think the same models need to also be threatening whoever on your opponent's side grabs it. I need to put real viable threats in the middle. If it's just Okoye and Toad who are kind of staring the thing down, then you know what? My opponent could just run up and grab the thing first activation because they're just not that worried.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to make sure you're really punishing them. Fantastic if you've got things like pushes and throws to bring them into the rest of your team. That can really set you up for success. Otherwise, another counterplay that I quite like, if you think your opponent is one of those teams that is going to steal it first play of the game, right? And those are usually telegraphed because it's easy to see in their roster they have them and they've got this crisis of priority. They've picked it. They've probably got that plan. Right, and then deployment is going to confirm to you that's their plan. When Amazing Spider-Man deploys opposite the Spider-Infected, you're like, okay, fair enough. That's your plan. But you can counter that, right? And a good way to counter that play is with a fast and tough character. So someone like your own Amazing Spider-Man or Angela, Black Panther, Beast, Lizard is my new favorite for this. And you deploy them opposite one of your opponent's Spider-Infected, right? One of the Spider-Infected that are in their portion of the table. And you say to them, okay, you can have Spider-Man take that middle one for free, and then Lizard is going to double move and take yours. And he's a big, tough Lizard. He's hard to kill. You've just activated Amazing Spider-Man, your 5-threat damage dealer, right? Lizard is probably going to survive, and I'm actually still going to go ahead on the extract unless you do a similar bold play and start trying to steal my points, at which point maybe I can kill your characters and we can play a more even game that's not just grab and run.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Pat. So I think we both love Spider-Infested. I think it's a really important card. I think it's aged really well from the core set. I know a lot of people talk about nowadays about maybe I don't need the core set, and I think we both agree the core set's great. Yeah. So I think it's a powerful card. We just kind of wanted to go over it, about kind of where we see it being played, some basic plays in and out of it. I think we did a pretty good job for a quick talk on it, Pat, right? Anything else you want to add?
No, I think we covered it well. So I think the main things are I'll do my summary. You tell me what I missed. Point one, it's really good at punishing slow-moving, damage-dealing characters. Point two, you want to be taking mobile characters to maximize this. And point 2.5, you want to be taking more characters than normal. So play with extra characters if you can. Go wider than you normally would on this crisis. And then finally, think about how you're going to interact with each of these things on round one. Are you going to steal something straight away? How are you going to counter your opponent doing that thing?
Yeah, no, I think you covered it. I think now, hopefully, patrons, if you're listening to this, I know we've had a lot of newer patrons who are kind of newer to the game, right? Hopefully that gives you an idea of why you would want this in your roster and when you would take this roster and actually throw it down in a crisis. So hopefully that helps you make that decision. Patrons, we're recording every week now, so go ahead and just let us know in Discord what crisis you'd like to see next. I think we're planning on going through the core box first, but I could be talked out of it. I could jump wherever, right?
Yeah, anything goes.
Yeah, so I don't think there's anything remarkable about its threat. I think we'll talk about the threat values a little bit more when we get into the outliers. Right? 17 is still the most common one. So, I don't think there's anything we need to go into there. So, patrons, also, please let us know whether you like this kind of focus on this. If you'd like more information, less information, if you just think it's a horrible idea, if you're questioning why you give us money every month, those are all valid. Just let us know. I'd like to know what you're thinking. But, again, the plan is for us to spend the next... a lot of ACSs going through all the different crises, and at the end we'll probably do like a full episode kind of recapping kind of how we go through it and how this kind of plays into list building.
Yeah, for sure. And there might be one or two we miss, like now that we've talked about spider infected, I don't think we necessarily need to also do cosmic cubes, but if there's enough demand, then we could talk about the differences.
I think we could do a couple and just kind of bunch them together, right, where maybe we cover them. Honestly, maybe we should even cover Cosmic Cube here. It's just kind of late. Cosmic Cube's 5. It doesn't move you. You get extra power, which is actually a big deal. And the most important thing is you can hold more than one, I think.
Yeah, the main thing here is like things like healing effects and ways to use power are better than normal.
Yeah, Asgard's a great one, for example, right? I know a lot of people just use the Asgard. I'm going to use the power to heal myself. To me, I'm going to come out ahead. Let's just do this kind of long, grindy attrition thing. You already have Angel out there. Enchantress is actually great at ripping one of them away from you. And they all have reasonable stamina pools.
Yeah, patch up a med pack better than normal on this crisis. And you have this, this is one of those crises that punishes you for getting ahead early because you take lots of damage, then all your characters get dazed, you lose all your objectives. So you need to, it incentivizes you to steal things and run away more than some crises.
I think this is actually a really interesting razor's edge for Web Warriors. Like, I think a really good Web Warriors player, which I am not, admittedly, they can leverage this to great advantage, right? They give that additional power, which Web Warriors really love. The flip side, right, is Web Warriors value that stamina so highly. That's why I think it's a really interesting razor's edge for them.
It is, and it's one that I'm happy to play with Web Warriors because I don't think there's anything better. I feel like cubes and spider infected are my two go-to choices with Web Warriors. But it's super dangerous, and it's even more of a problem with Amazing Spider-Man because he is so good at beating people up, taking their cubes. But his stamina pool is low, and he gets to like play in the sprinkler for a couple of rounds, and then at some point he just dazes in the power phase.
Yeah, Miles is the one that always gets me. I'm like, do I Venom Blast? Yes. Do I just leave it on the ground? Maybe. I don't want to take 2 damage a turn, which is sometimes where Miles ends up, and it's like,
Yeah, really like Venom Miles. Goes up in value a lot for Web Warriors, I think, when you're playing this crisis because of the fact that he's power hungry and he can heal, and he is one of their ways of making this a little bit better for them, a bit more manageable.
Yeah, and I know he's not a Web Warrior, but I do really like Lizard on this crisis as well, right? You've got the healing factor in there. Exactly, this tough. I just think he's a really good bricky piece on there. Pat already kind of outlined why Lizard is phenomenal on Fs anyway.
Yeah, and he's even better. Yeah, he's even better on this one than on Spider Infected because of the fact he's outdoing the damage and he really uses the power well.
All right, Pat, before we close, you called Lizard the best sculpt in AMG's line. Is that correct?
Yeah, I love him. I just finished painting mine. I'm so proud of him.
Do you stand by that statement now that Hulkbuster's been spoiled?
Hulkbuster's pretty cool. So look, bigger isn't always better. And okay, Lizard's a big model. And he's also a really cool dynamic model. Hulkbuster is a big model. He is also cool and dynamic. I rate Hulkbuster very, very high. But I like with Lizard, I think the sewer is telling a story, right? And creating an environment for him. It's like, you know, it's more than just Hulkbuster flying in the air. And if Hulkbuster was a couple of degrees more horizontal, I think I would prefer him a little bit more. As he stands, I give him a solid like A-. He's a superb model. He doesn't knock Lizard off the top spot for me.
Ooh, interesting, interesting. Well, you know, I'm going to maintain that the garbage truck is still the best model in the line. But, patrons, we do want to thank you for joining us. Let us know the next crisis you want us to go over. Let us know if you like this idea for the ACS. Let us know, honestly, anything you feel like telling us, because we're here to listen to you. Thank you all so much. Pat, it's been fun, but I got to go to bed, man. It's been great recording. Till next time, everyone, cheers, and happy gaming.